This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could come along for more music of the moment in West Michigan. Today, I'm in the WMUK Takeda Performance Studio with two wonderful young musicians, 18-year-old Cullen O'Neill and 19-year-old Rebecca Lupi. They became friends over 10 years ago in the Girl Scouts, and over time, each became an exceptional musician and player in the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony. This hour on WMUK, Cullen and Rebecca mark their friendship and share their music with us on the radio. This opportunity is a unique one. I think both of you are in a period of transition to adulthood, to college, to a career. But I wanted to capture this moment in time and have it known that your talent where you are right now is very special. And I wanted to just share it with people and have a record of your accomplishments up to this point. So I'm so thrilled you could come in.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Cullen, I would like to start with you. Sure. Would you tell listeners who may not know you about your musical background and how you were introduced to the cello?
Sure. I started playing piano when I was 8, which is how I got into music. And then when I was 9, my brother was playing violin, and I really liked kind of the intimacy of the stringed instruments. It's making a sound on the string instrument is not as detached as when you're playing it on a piano, in my opinion. So I was interested in playing a string instrument, and I'm not really sure. Everyone asks me why I chose cello. I'm not exactly sure why I chose cello, but I'm really glad that I did. So I've been playing that since I was 9 years old, and I study now with Bruce Uchimura.
When you started with the cello, you probably played on a smaller instrument.
Yeah.
And started with pretty simple pieces.
Yeah. twinkle,
little star. Yeah.
Sure.
How soon did you realize that you could do a lot more on your cello than you had when you started?
A good question. I always really, really liked cello. Like, I never hated. Some people are like, oh, I used to hate practicing, and all. Like, but I was always pretty motivated. I guess it was probably when, my first year I was taking with a violin teacher, actually, my brother's violin teacher. And then the next year I switched to Grace Field, the Suzuki Academy. So then I was around a bunch of other cellists, and there was this one group which eventually ended up being the Grace Notes, if you've heard of them. It's my cello ensemble. But I heard them all play in recitals, and I was like, oh, I need to be in there. So I guess that's what really motivated me, and I saw what was possible for people my own age to play in the cello.
Uh-huh. Rebecca, you're 1 year older than Cullen, I take it.
Yes.
Would you tell me about your musical background?
Well, I started the piano at 7. Pretty boring story, honestly. Like, my mom came from a musical family. She had played piano and actually almost ended up being a piano major. So we've had a piano. We always had a piano in the house. And she just asked my 6-year-old self if I wanted to take piano lessons next year. And I was like, okay. So, and that just ended up working out. I just had a good ear and it ended up taking off.
You got curious about orchestral music and the string instruments as well.
Yes. I started violin at 9, 2 years after piano. Piano in the early years had never been that much of a challenge. I was apparently a quick learner. And so my mom tells me that I told her that I wanted something harder than piano, and I got it. So I started violin, and I was not a huge fan at the beginning, but then when I joined the Prep String Orchestra and then eventually the Junior Symphony, violin changed my life. Honestly, I would not be the same musician without it.
You're glad you challenged yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a lot more of a social instrument as well. With pianists, you've got one piano in one room and you're by yourself, unless you find a duet partner.
Yeah, but earlier on, chamber music like isn't really as much of a thing until you get older and more advanced. That's what I found anyway.
When you did advance on piano, who was your teacher?
I had Rebecca Barnes early on until I was 12. Then I switched to Susan Uchimura at WMU. And then I just finished my freshman year at Vanderbilt University, and I currently study with Amy Dorfman.
What's the first year of university been like?
Well, it was great. I love it at Vanderbilt. My main challenge was controlling how much repertoire I took on as a chamber musician besides my solo work. Especially second semester, I took on a little bit too much chamber music. I love it, of course, and every piece that I played was formative. But I almost died, but then I made it through. So
let's talk about balance.
Yeah.
Some people can burn out on music if you overdo it. It can really turn into work. Mm-hmm. Did you keep it balanced and keep it fun the best you could?
I would say the closest I've gotten to burning out was probably last year. And it wasn't really because I had too much. Well, it was because I don't like gigs at all. You know, like playing at weddings. Like, I really, really do not like to do that. And I did that so much. Stuff like that, you know, and receptions and stuff. And that is like, it's not even like making music.
I had a friend who used to call those ficus gigs because you're like the ficus plant in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, I started to get embittered a little bit. And then it kind of like leaked into this year. But then this year I was way, like I was practicing for college auditions and stuff, so.
That adds a little pressure too.
Yeah, and then there's a little pressure. But yeah, but I always end up rediscovering why I love music in the end, so.
You know, the last time I think I saw you, mm-hmm. okay, the time before the last time I saw you, you were in the back of the Kalamazoo Philharmonia playing percussion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was one of my escapes last year because I wanted, like, a new way to make music. So I asked Mr. Kohler, the conductor, if I could try percussion, and he's always lacking in percussion players for that orchestra, so he's like, sure.
And you took on the Rite of Spring.
that was this year, the beginning of this year.
The little first piece.
It was fun. I played second timpani part. Like,
so you know when you're going out of balance.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And yes. Rebecca, you learned a big lesson this semester.
Yes. Next semester, I'm going to focus on solo things for the moment. But I love chamber music, and I hope to make it my focus in the future. I love playing with other people. It's just wonderful.
Will you take on, like, the responsibility of creating your own trio or quartet, start something with its own name, and go from there?
That would be wonderful if I could do that. But I'm also interested in orchestral piano. Gone on tour with NYO in summer of 2014 as the orchestral pianist. That was another very formative experience, and it opened another opportunity of something I could do. So we shall see.
Now, here in the studio today, you've prepared some music of Robert Schumann that we're going to hear. And I should tell listeners right now that if you enjoy the performance you're about to hear, Rebecca and Cullen have a live performance and a full concert at Kalamazoo College coming up on June 7th. What are the details on that?
It's in the small recital hall, which is called Carnival Hall, at the Light Fine Arts Center at K College. It's at 3 p.m.
on Sunday, June 7th.
Yes, that's right.
And it's free?
Oh, yeah.
So Sunday afternoon, June 7th. If you want to kind of celebrate young music making in Kalamazoo and hear Cullen and Rebecca in more repertoire, I'll ask them about,
right.
Yeah, I'll ask you about your program after we hear you play music of Robert Schumann. I need someone to introduce the piece you're about to play.
This is Five Pieces in Folk Style by Robert Schumann.
Is it for cello originally?
Yes, it actually is possibly the only piece he wrote for cello, solo, and piano.
How long have you been playing it?
We worked on it a little before because Rebecca just came home how many weeks ago?
Almost three now.
Yeah, so that's when we started putting it together.
Well, from the WMUK Takeda studio, Cullen O'Neill and Rebecca Lupi with Five Pieces in Folk Style by Robert Schumann. We just heard cellist Cullen O'Neill and pianist Rebecca Lupi performing the five pieces in folk style by Robert Schumann live in the studio at WMUK. That was fantastic playing. I can't believe you're so young. How old are you, Cullen?
I'm 18.
And Rebecca?
I'm 19.
It's sophisticated, mature playing, and I want to thank you again for a terrific performance.
Thank you so much.
So you play together so very well. How long have you been playing together? How long have you known each other?
We've actually known each other since I was 5 and Rebecca was 7. That's when we first met in Girl Scouts.
Yes, but we've been collaborating together, let's see, for 7 years. That was 7 years ago. This coming June was the first time we played a duet together. The little Boccherini minuet.
Yeah.
We thought it was so hard.
Was there a concert or something that put you together?
Mrs. Uchimura actually has a collaborative recital every June, and she specifically wants her students to accompany an instrumentalist or a singer, and that was a very good experience.
How old again were you?
At that time, 12 and 11. Yeah,
something like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you find other interests besides music that made you friends?
You go. Originally, I don't know.
We shared a lot in common because we were both homeschooled, and that was actually how our mothers formed our Girl Scout troop. Like, they were looking for other homeschooled families in the area. And we just kind of...
We liked romping around in nature. Yeah. We would, like, climb trees... Go run walk around. And then the other stuff we did was like eventually
we have a bunch of crazy stories.
We used to collect stuffed monkeys and
we wrote their life histories.
Yeah, we did.
It was
the
very
monkey
involved.
Files. That's what it was called, the monkey files.
So we had a very vast life outside of music. But the thing was, like, we both got into music around the same time, but we didn't really influence each other in it. We just both had this innate desire, and both of us started becoming more accomplished about the same time, and our levels just have been strangely aligned the entire time.
And it was, we were thinking about it the other day, it's weird, like, there are, like, at least three other instances that we would have met each other anyway, including, like, KJSO, and we have teachers who are husband and wife, so.
A beautiful coincidence.
Yes.
So you were able to see each other for Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra. You mentioned Andrew Kohler. Has he been a part of both your lives too for a long time?
Yes. I would actually count him as one of my biggest influences as a musician, both as a pianist and a violinist. He actually coached us just the other day on this Schumann.
Yep, that's right. So thanks, Mr. Kohler.
Thank you.
I agree. Mr. Kohler has definitely been one of the most influential, like, people that I've ever met or ever. Like, I was really lucky to have him for 5 years in KJSO, and
I've heard he can be demanding.
Oh yeah, that's what's so great. Yeah,
yeah. It demands perfection, and then you have to give it, and it's just so great.
Yeah. Not only did he heighten my standards, he also really, he kind of showed me how to love the music in a certain way so that I'm not just interested in playing at a high level, but also in learning all that I can about it, and finding new ways to explore it.
One of the qualities that doesn't come necessarily from the page in Schumann's pieces in folk style that we just heard is the concept of rubato. As I was up close and personal watching you play, I saw that you both agreed exactly in many moments when to pull back and when to push forward and add those romantic qualities that come from a tradition of sound and not necessarily straight from the page.
Yeah.
We definitely had a lot of room to decide that, because there's not a lot of notes in the score pertaining to that, like you said. That was probably the majority of our discussion on this piece, because there are so many like phrase endings that we have to align exactly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we disagreed, but we got through it in the end.
Yeah. I'm always the one who's like, let's do this. And then Rebecca's like, okay, but
in moderation.
But in moderation.
Yeah, Cullen is the intense one. Like, and I'm the kind of middle ground.
It's kind of
diplomat.
Like our friendship, though, right?
Yeah.
Are you familiar, Cullen, with the Schumann Cello Concerto?
Oh, yeah. I haven't ever studied it, but I love that.
The middle movement is F major.
Yeah.
There's a slow
unbelievable.
Movement.
Yeah.
There's a slow movement here in the five pieces. That
yeah, that's right.
Has some similarities.
It's, yeah, it's a little bit reminiscent of that. It's kind of like a lullaby, I think of it as.
When the music is at a slow enough tempo and it's very lyrical, mm-hmm. does that give you enough time to put the phrase and the note and the sound in your mind before you play it?
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you're thinking?
A little bit. I try not to do that too much because, like, I can psych myself out. Like, if I'm thinking, like, oh, this top note has to, like, blow people's minds with its beauty, and then I usually crunch if I think that, so. So, yeah, obviously you have to anticipate what you're about to play, though, I would say.
Yeah, actually, I like that in the slow movement, for me, I like looking at the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But my challenge in the slow movement is, like, calming myself enough to take the time I need to play the notes well, which may sound silly and simple, but really is the most, like, the biggest struggle for me.
Yeah, thinking is kind of bad. When you're playing
too
music,
much.
Yeah. So when it's slower, you have more time to do that, and it can be very destructive.
Yeah.
Well, let me remind folks, my guests are Rebecca Lupi and Cullen O'Neill. They're two outstanding young musicians. The Schumann you just played, you did read sheet music, both of you. There's a lot of music to memorize, of course. But I think you have something for us that you have committed to memory. Would you tell us what you're going to play for us, Cullen?
Sure. I'll be playing two movements of Bach's third solo suite for cello in C major. And those movements are the prelude and then the second movement, which is the allemande.
Let's hear Cullen O'Neill with music from Bach's cello suite number 3 on WMUK. Thank you. That's cellist Colin O'Neill playing two movements, the Prelude and Allemande from Johann Sebastian Bach's Cello Suite No. 3 in C major. Colin, thank you very much for that performance.
Thank you.
So no sheet music. You played that from memory. How long have you had it memorized?
For a while now, because I did those two movements for college auditions. So I've been kind of playing them on and off, which I think is effective with Bach. Whenever I come back, I understand it, I think. I always, you know, have a new interpretation and a richer understanding.
I get the sense also that you put a high priority on pitch. And that on the cello, it's very difficult.
I'm glad it came across that way.
That you're thinking about it, you want to get it right, and that you're happiest when your cello is singing out at where the intervals are just where you want them.
Yeah, that's ideal. I work on that a lot, but obviously there's always a ton of room for improvement. Yeah, I know. I'll be working on that for the rest of my life.
How long have you had your current cello?
My current cello, I've had it, I think, a little over 2 years, I think. And I got it from a friend of my teacher's. It had been used for about a year or two before I got it, or maybe like 3 years.
A fairly new instrument.
So it's fairly new, yeah.
How long do you plan on keeping it?
Until I can afford a better one.
Would you ever be leery of upgrading your cello just because you finally learned all the ins and outs of a cello that might be imperfect, but at least you know what you're doing with it?
I don't know. I don't really think of it that way, because when you're practicing cello, it's not really... I don't think you're really getting better in the sense of like you know exactly where to go. It's like you know how to get places, if that makes sense. It's not like exactly where the E is or exactly where the F is. It's like how to hear while you're shifting that you're getting there, and how to adjust while you're shifting before you even get there. So
I want to ask you both, I guess, about auditioning for college and how to make that decision. I'll start with you, Rebecca, since you've already been through the process. How many colleges did you audition for?
I auditioned at 5. Let's see. Oberlin, Hope, Butler, Vanderbilt, and Baldwin-Wallace.
What went into your decision to choose Vanderbilt?
Well, Vanderbilt has very excellent academics as well as a great school in the Blair School of Music. And secondly, Blair is very small. It's about 200 students, and it's a very familial atmosphere, and you get to know people very quickly, very well. And I just love it there very much. And the professors are top-notch, and I'm very grateful to be with Amy Dorfman. I love her.
Vanderbilt is also in Nashville?
Yes.
Music City. Any crossover there? Do you get the sense that there's, like in Kalamazoo in a way, there's just musical activity everywhere?
Yeah, there's definitely a big arts and cultural basis in Nashville. Although it's pretty isolated in the university because we're very busy practicing and very busy doing homework. And that's one of my goals for next year, to get out and experience more.
Let's hear about your tour of colleges, Colin.
Sure. I only did 4, Eastman, Oberlin, Indiana University, and University of Michigan.
And did you choose one of those?
I chose University of Michigan because I'm lucky to live in Michigan and have in-state tuition, because it's one of the best, possibly the best cello university in the country.
I just finished interviewing 12 Stolberg finalists. Mm-hmm. Nearly all the cellists were studying with Richard Aaron.
That's right. That's
who teaches at University of Michigan.
Yep, I'll be studying with Richard Aaron. Yeah, I've had a couple lessons with him. He's great. An amazing teacher. And I'm hoping to really beef up my technical skills within the next 4 years.
So you're going to put in the time it takes to get that last 0.5%, 5% that kind of like athletes need, where they train and by all standards they're at the top of their field, and then they do that last little bit.
I'd say I have more like 25.
You think I'm exaggerating?
40.
Well, you will be a freshman, so there's 4 long years to go.
Well, I'm looking forward to, he has some master's and doctoral students as well, so I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing every week all the upperclassmen, the graduate students, play.
And you and Rebecca want to stay friends, of course.
Yeah. Yes, we probably couldn't live without each other, honestly.
So you weren't able to tempt her down to Vanderbilt.
No, but it was hard at first, but we know how to do long distance now, and we've just known each other so long that it doesn't matter. Like, we can just come back and pick up exactly where we left off.
Yeah.
Would you be open to, say, people wanted to have a concert, would you be open to scheduling something with the two of you during the holidays or in the summertime in the future?
Sure.
That would be great, as long as I get the music in advance, because pianists have quadruple the notes to learn.
That's right. We know what happens when you get overloaded.
Yes. Well, yes.
It's not a good thing. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, this is a snapshot of a moment in time, a very special moment as you're both embarking upon your lives in music, with music. Here at the end of the hour, let's have your thoughts, your acknowledgement of people who meant something to you on your journey so far, any encouragement you can give to young players too.
Well, in terms of acknowledging people, there are a ton of people. Like, Kalamazoo is so rich with amazing musicians who are willing to encourage young people like Rebecca and me. For instance, Mr. Kohler, of course, Dr. Ross, and my teacher, and obviously I'd like to thank my family. And yeah, I hope that I've already, to some degree, influenced upcoming young musicians in a similar way to how I've been influenced.
I'd like to hear a bit more about Dr. Bruce Ujimura.
I've had him for 4 years now, and he's hilarious and an amazing teacher. Every lesson, I learn how to think about music in new ways. I learn about life, and I laugh a lot because he's really funny.
If you could dictate the path you take, what would you hope to see yourself doing from here on out?
I don't really have any specific goals, but I just hope that I can continue to develop my relationship with music and continue to excite my own curiosity about it, so that I'm, you know, constantly exploring new things. And I really hope to have some sort of effect on younger musicians as well.
That's wonderful, Colin. Rebecca, same questions. Who comes to mind when you think of important people who've influenced you so far and your thoughts on the future?
Well, many of the same ones as Colin. Andrew Kohler, Barry Ross, as well as Susan Uchimura and Audrey Lipsy, who actually taught private violin to me for several years. And helped me get into the KJSO, which, as I said, changed my life. So I'm so blessed to have grown up in Kalamazoo. It's quite amazing, actually, how great the arts are here for the size of Kalamazoo. Like, most of my friends at school haven't heard of Kalamazoo, but when they hear about things like the Gilmore or Stolberg, they're quite amazed. So I'm very glad I ended up here. So,
and when you look off into the future, what do you hope for yourself?
Well, again, as Colin said, I'm hoping to have as big an impact on young students as my teachers have on me. I can never thank them enough for how they've changed me. So I will definitely be teaching in my future. And as we mentioned earlier, I'm hoping to become a more developed chamber musician and hopefully form a group. That would be great.
Well, I hope we see you back here and even at WMUK and get another chance to hear you in the future. Thanks for your time today and thanks for your beautiful music, Rebecca and Colin.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
I spoke with Colin O'Neill and Rebecca Loopy here on WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. The audio engineer was Martin Clem. I'm Kara Lawrence. If you'd like to hear this interview and music again, visit us online at WMUK.org. Thanks for listening.